My children are older now, but I can remember when they were younger, and you can too. And I would say, hey guys, you want to go to McDonald's for dinner? Of course, we all know that response. Kids love to go to McDonald's. Adults do too. But where I would say, hey, do you want to go to McDonald's for dinner? And they would say, yes. They kind of forget that part about going there for dinner. So at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they start to ask, when are we going? When are we going? You said we were going. When are we going? Well, you've probably had that experience before. When are we going to McDonald's? There is this eagerness. There is this excitement. There is this anticipation of a hamburger from McDonald's. And even though the continuous asking can at times wear on your nerves, yet at the same time, the fact that they continually ask tells me that they're trusting my word, that they're trusting that I will keep that which I have promised. So their continuous asking, when can we go, is not received by me as something negative. Instead, it is received as something that is positive. I see it as a sign of love, that they take my word seriously and they depend upon me keeping my word. Well, just as a child will take the promise of a hamburger from McDonald's seriously, we need to take prayer seriously. Just as the children would continually ask, when are we going? When are we going? The scriptures tell us that we need to continually ask in prayer for the things that are good. We saw last week that there is a progression in the formula of prayer that Jesus has given to us. First, we ask. We ask as a beggar does. We have nothing to bring to you, but we ask for your favor. We ask. And then if we do not receive, we are told, then we are to seek. We are to seek it out. I need to search my heart to make sure that what I'm asking for is in fact the very things that God has told me to ask for. We search the scriptures. We let the scriptures examine us to see if my petitions are in accordance with the petitions that God says I should have. Seeking then, you see, is more intense and it is more extensive than simply asking. Well, if I have asked and I have sought and I still have not received an answer in prayer, then Jesus says you need to knock. You need to knock. And it's like I said last week, the old Bob Dylan song, you don't knock once, but you do what? You knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. What Jesus is referring to is that when we are knocking, there is a sense of perseverance. We don't knock once, but we keep knocking. We keep coming to the throne of grace because Jesus Christ always lives to intercede for us. We keep coming to the throne of grace, laying our petitions at His feet. If we come to the Lord one time and ask for something, and then we never come back, well then, the thing that we ask for in prayer must not be very important to us. But when we ask for the things that God says we should ask for, and we still have not received an answer, then you knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. You persevere. Remember the parable from last week. The widow went to the unjust judge. And she kept coming back to the judge, coming back to the judge, until he heard her case. And Jesus says, that the parable explains that we should never give up in prayer. Prayer can be difficult. There are times that you just don't know what to pray for. You know you need to be praying, but you just, the words are just not there. And you just kind of groan in prayer. It's kind of like you're wrestling. And it's a difficult thing. Well, because prayer at times seems like wrestling with God and waiting on God, Jesus gives us one encouragement after another to keep on praying. First, he's given us the invitation. He's given you the invitation. Ask, seek, and knock. And second, the second encouragement is he's given you assurance that you will receive an answer. Listen to what he says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, 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 and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. See, God doesn't lie. God tells the truth. And so when God has told you to pray for this certain thing, you ask, you seek, you knock, because he has given you the promise that you will receive. You will get that which you've asked for. The door shall be opened to you. But here's really the clincher for me. Jesus draws an infallible inference from the loving fatherhood of God to show you that your prayers will be answered. Listen to what he says. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You want an encouragement to persevere in prayer? Jesus gives it to you. He calls your attention to the fact that God is your heavenly Father. He's not an unjust judge. He's not a friend that you have woke up in the middle of the night. Remember that parable from last week? No. God is our heavenly Father. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. You are never out of his mind. And he has said, ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given to you, because God loves to give good gifts. Jesus calls our attention to our relationship with our earthly Father in order to emphasize God's goodness to us as our heavenly Father. Notice this. Notice who Jesus calls evil here. See the passage? Though you are evil and know how to give good gifts. Jesus is not speaking to unbelievers. He's not speaking to criminals. He's not speaking to the dregs of society. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to his own disciples. He's not singling out Judas. No. Who is Jesus talking to? Peter, James, John, and the whole gang. Jesus is calling his disciples evil. And by nature we are. We all love sinful things. By nature we are dead in sin. We love the things of sin. We hate the things of the kingdom of God. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. But notice again, Jesus is not simply saying, Peter, James, and John, y'all have done evil things in the past. No. Or he's not saying, every now and then you do some evil things. No. Jesus says that his disciples are evil. They are the foundation of evil thought. Their hearts, from their hearts, flows every evil intention. And if Jesus regards his disciples as being evil, how much more so would he regard us in being evil? But though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, though evil resides within our heart, we are still kind and generous to our children, are we not? Parental love is one of the most powerful of all active principles in an evil human heart. No parent would refuse to supply the genuine needs of his children if it is within the parent's power to do so. Despite the fall, despite that we were at one time, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, at one time you were all under the kingdom of Satan. You were under the power of Satan. Though one time we were all dead in sin, yet we took care of our children. We wanted them to have good things. We dedicated our life to the betterment of our children. If the child asks for something good, we tried to give it to them. If they asked for something to eat, we didn't give them a rock. If they asked for a good toy, we didn't give them a snake. No, those things would not be in the best interests of the child. Because we love our children, even though we are sinners, we seek to do good things to our children. Now, parents do not always have the resources to provide what the child needs. But you know what? God has the resources. Parents do not always possess the wisdom and knowledge of certain things to give their children wise advice. But God does. Parents don't have control over the time and place of their death. Some parents have died and left their children to fend for themselves. But God never dies. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is supreme in knowledge, in wisdom, in love, in power, and in resources. He created the world by His Word. He sustains it by His Word. And He can easily provide His children with that which is good. That which is good spoken. All God has to do is speak, and your prayers are answered. God is a good Father. That's why the prophet Jeremiah, speaking through the Holy Spirit, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You see, that's what you would want to provide for your children, correct? Plans to prosper them, not to harm them, but plans to give them a hope and a future. Sometimes parents can do that. But we are all evil. But just because we are evil, we still seek to do that with our children. God's not evil, but He gives you the same promise. He has plans for you, to prosper you, to do you good. God is our Heavenly Father. Let's time warp here for a moment. Let's go back to the 1960s. And you're watching the television show, My Three Sons. All right? Fred McMurray is playing the role of Stephen Douglas. my three sons, remember Robbie and Chip, Ernie, Uncle Charlie, Tramp the dog. Steve Douglas very seldom made a mistake. Of course, we know that was just TV. Parents do make mistakes. But Steve Douglas very seldom made a mistake. But when he did, he was quick to make it right. But I remember one specific episode where they adopted Ernie. You remember Ernie now, the youngest of the three, was not a biological son of Steve Douglas. He was the next door neighbor. But in one episode, they adopt Ernie. Now, immediately, Ernie had all the same privileges as Chip and Robbie. Ernie was a legitimate member of the family. All that the family owned one day didn't belong to Ernie, but the very next day, it did belong to Ernie. Anything he needed, he could ask of his father. And good old Stephen Douglas would see to it. But in this particular episode, a problem arose. Because even though Ernie was now a member of the family, he still thought of himself as an outsider. Instead of thinking of Steve Douglas as his dad, he still had this mindset that Steve Douglas was his neighbor. He did not really understand the relationship. So Steve Douglas had a father and son talk to communicate to Ernie about the bond that was now between them. And with such a bond already in place, Ernie was free to enjoy all the privileges of the family and to boldly go before his adopted father and ask for that which he was needing. Sometimes we need to have the Steve Douglas, Ernie, sit down talk. Because I believe many times we have the same problem that Ernie had when he was adopted. Ernie was part of the Douglas family, but he still thought of himself as an outsider. And his wrong thinking about his relationship to Steve Douglas caused him to make some wrong conclusions about his relationship. Thus, it led him to make some wrong choices. And we do the same thing with our Heavenly Father. Because we do not understand the great work of Christ in redeeming us. Because we do not understand that through the Holy Spirit, we have this union with Christ, that the resurrected, ascended, glorified human nature of Christ in heaven. We are in union with Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we lose that focus, we come to some wrong conclusions, and therefore we begin to question, does God really care for me? Does God really hear my prayers? Can I really depend on God to do what is best and take care of my needs? In other words, you promised that you would take us to McDonald's, but now it's 3 or 4 hours later. Are you going to do it? See, because we have that wrong understanding of who we are in Christ, we come to some wrong conclusions. Because we do not understand that Jesus always lives to intercede for us and that we can approach the throne of grace boldly. Boldly. That therefore we begin to question, does God really care for us? As a little boy, I had a great privilege. I would go to the high school football game on Friday night, and I would just walk into the locker room and just sit myself down. Nobody ever questioned me. Nobody ever said, why are you here? What are you doing? Why did I have such a confidence to walk in among all these teenage boys who were, to me, you know, they were gigantic? I had such confidence to do that because my daddy was the football coach. I could boldly go into that locker room without any fear. Let me tell you, you can boldly go into the locker room of God because of Jesus Christ. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. Everything that God has promised, He will accomplish in your life. But He wants you to ask and seek and knock for it. Because when you ask and seek and knock for the things of God, that tells God that these things are important to you. The things of the kingdom of God need to be important to you. And when you ask, and when you seek, and when you knock for the things of the kingdom of God, He's not going to give you a snake or a stone. No, He's going to give you that which is good. Every decision that you make in your life comes down to what you believe about your relationship to God in Jesus Christ. Are you bold enough to go before the throne of grace? That's what the scriptures say. It says, the writer to the Hebrews says, go to the throne of grace with boldness. Why? I went into the locker room with boldness because my dad was the coach. You go to the throne of grace with boldness because your king, your prophet, your priest is also your brother, Jesus Christ. And the Father has covenanted with the Son to adopt these children and to love them the same, to bring them into the family of God. The scriptures say that God the Father loves you just as much as God the Father loves God the Son. Well, how can that be? It's because you're adopted. I love my two adopted children as if they're my own flesh and blood, because they're part of my family. They're my sons. God loves you just as much as He loves His Son, because you are sons and daughters of the kingdom. If you're to receive something bad, then Jesus Christ will receive that which is bad. Because you see, you're co-heirs with Christ. All that Christ has been given will be given to us as well. And we know that Jesus does not receive bad things from the Father. That is why the scriptures say, no good thing does the Lord withhold from those who love Him. No good thing will the Lord withhold from you who love Him. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God even provides bread for the unrighteous. He's good to even those who are outside the kingdom. How much more so is He going to be good to those inside the kingdom? The child has confidence in the parent's word. We have to have confidence in our Heavenly Father's word. Let us learn a lesson from our earthly parents, that though they are sinners, yet they have all given us good gifts. How much more so will a holy and loving God give good gifts to us? Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the good gift of Jesus Christ and the good gift of your Holy Spirit. Oh, heavenly Father, help us to see and understand our intimate relationship with you through Christ, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will provide all that is good for us. Oh, heavenly Father, give us confidence to approach your throne with boldness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.